smokers in a pontoon boat, fishing for Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for
fishing. Come on, it's funny.
I'm telling you, it's the best song ever.
It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Oh, yeah, don't you know he ain't dirty shirt. He's working up there, keeping away the flies there. Okay. Okay, dirty shirt. I see Captain Kale. He's right on the seat there in the chair. He's right there across from me. This be fishing, Frank. Yeah. Don't you know, hey, we're gonna have a good show for you here, eh?
Well, hopefully we can get this one onto the internet.
Yeah, it would be just really nice if everything would just work every once in a while. I'm not sure why it doesn't, but I think that's my lot.
Probably because we make everything out of baling wire, duct tape, and drywall screws.
Well, at least I've switched over several of them to, you know, like the deck screws instead of the straight old black drywall screws. But, yeah, anybody who's seen our studios here in downtown Charlotte Harbor, it is a wonder to behold. And I guess when you're putting computers and, you know, mixers and radio equipment and all this electronics, and we're 2 feet from 2,000 gallons of bait tanks.
Yep.
It probably is no wonder that humidity, we keep going off the air. But
the
now,
salt air, the nicotine.
We have
all those
brand,
things that computers don't like.
Brand spanking new computer here. And believe me, the spanking thing is going to come into effect if this thing goes one more time on me. You're going to hear that loud bang, and you're going to figure everybody in the county is going to hear a megabit explosion, because I've had it, you know, computers and hard drives, and thank God for Captain Kale. If it wasn't for Kale, that we would not have ever been back on the air.
And Kale doesn't want to do this crap anymore. I quit doing computers and went fishing for a reason.
I know, but, you know, sometimes we have to do those which we hate. But look at, we can take that one out and hit it with the, I got a 30-06 at the house. We could probably put nice holes in that computer.
Definitely.
With 30-06.
And it deserves it.
Okay. Anyway, the fishing. I got to tell you, I'm hearing about mackerel everywhere. And
there's a lot of fish out there everywhere. And it's not just certain spots. I mean, everything is doing well. The west side, full of redfish, full of mackerel, full of bonnethead shark. East side is doing decent on trout, doing pretty good on redfish. Upper Harbor is holding Spanish mackerel. The Alligator Creek Reef is holding Spanish mackerel and cobia.
So sorry about that. I was adjusting Kale's mic.
We still have good sheephead numbers out there.
I do like the setup with the mic stands a little better this way.
But as far as fishing goes, now is the time to be out there. And it's not going to be long. The sharks are going to be in. The tarpon are going to be spinning up.
The waterline's doing that ladyfish tournament. And Port Charlotte Beach, pier, ladyfish. 41 Bridge, excuse me, ladyfish. I've heard a little bit about out in the deep hole by the 20-foot hole. Haven't heard anything by the reef. Heard a little bit out in front of Bull Bay.
For ladyfish?
Ladyfish.
We got into some ladyfish in the Myakka Cutoff today.
So
in those, any of those creek mouths in the Myakka Cutoff are holding ladyfish.
So basically, if you're on the upper end of the harbor here, there are a lot of ladyfish up here. I haven't heard a lot of ladyfish reports south, but a lot of them up in this end.
Yeah.
How's the trout doing? You were on a charter today. Did you
do any
trout?
We went out for trout. We didn't catch a single trout.
Really?
We ended up switching off and going for anything that would bend a rod, and that even didn't go very, very well. We caught five or six redfish, all rats, a couple nice ladyfish, a couple catfish, some sheephead. You know, it's a bad day on the water when the only thing you can catch on your 17 MR is your shirt.
That's tough. When a 17 MR, now Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure.
They do catch everything.
Yeah, that's true. Even your shirt.
You can't walk by them with a shirt on and not get caught.
Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, going to be here March 15th at the tent sale. Yay! Yeah. Yeah, we just got some security, so we're going to be able to have a bigger, better tent sale than ever, because we've hired a couple guys to, you know, watch everything. It's going to be a great sale. It really is. Gary Loomis coming. Mark Nichols is coming back, and that man is just as nice as he can be.
Yeah, yeah, and he's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, if you follow DOA on Facebook, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he never stops.
No.
And he's been sick. I mean, so sick a normal human wouldn't even get out of bed. And Mark is still out there.
Yep, doesn't stop him.
No. And I got to tell you, I still fall back. If you want to know how great a company DOA is, hurricane hits, we're destroyed. I have no house, no store, no nothing. And we're in trying to strip the store down and get cleaned up. And here comes a box in the mail. Big box. I mean, 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet, 30 inches by 30 inches square, packed full of DOA stuff with a note saying, best wishes, Frank. Hope you hope this helps you get back in business, Mark. And I have been a DOA.
Unbelievable.
I don't care what happens. I will carry DOA until the day they don't make it because, A, it's good. What more do you want besides a nice company? I mean, somebody that cool. I mean,
well, how many other companies have jerk shads out there? Just about everybody. But who makes them in two different sizes?
And who makes them all in the U.S.?
Yeah.
With ground up fish.
What good is a 5.5-inch jerk shad for snook inside the canals? They're not going to touch that thing. They want something shorter.
No, see, I don't know about that, because as usual, we throw opposites, so sure. I won't go into there, because I owe you a lot of favors. You called me when I was late for the club, you fixed the computers, you've redone the email, and in a couple hours, we're back on the air.
Yep.
Now, I guess people really wouldn't have minded that we were off the air for a little while longer, but anyway, back to the fishing. What did you catch today? What was out there?
Like I said, a couple small redfish, 5 or 6. We were basically stuck inside the Mayaca cutoff.
Yeah.
We started up inside Alligator Bay.
Didn't they say a bunch of trout up at East Spring Lake? One of the guys was going to the boat ramp, and he said, oh, you should have come up to the boat ramp here. There was a ton of trout. East Spring Lake at the boat ramp. West Spring Lake at the boat ramp. Isn't it? People used to do that to me when I was on charters. How come you didn't come here? There was all these fish. Because it's 10 miles out of the way. Well, not 10 miles, but it's an hour out of the way.
Well, we started in Alligator Bay right there at the beach complex. I really wanted to get down to the west side. The weather called for southwest winds at 5 to 10, and it was more like southwest winds at 20 to 25 today.
Really? That bad?
It was bad. We left out of there, and I knew I couldn't cross the mouth of the Mayaca in that wind. There was going to be 6-foot rollers out there.
Yeah.
So my goal was to run up through the Mayaca cutoff, then cut across to Cattle Dock, and then run the bar all the way down the west side. And
look what I just found. I cleaned that big security camera monitor, moved all that thing, because I have all these security cameras there. I found a 60-pound boga grip I've been looking for. I've been looking for this thing for 2 years.
And it's been a foot away from you.
It's been, maybe
literally
a foot away. Look at that click. Nothing like a boga grip. Best tool, best made tool in anywhere.
Absolutely. So we tried to...
That's who we got to get down here one year for the tent sale. We got a boga grip down here.
Definitely.
Okay, the screen went black, moved the mouse. Okay, I did that earlier. The screen went black, and then the whole thing
went
shut down.
Hell in a handbasket.
All right. Amazing.
We ended up being stuck inside the Mayaca cutoff, which isn't a bad thing, as long as you've got enough water to move around in there, which we luckily did. But just not a whole lot of stuff going on in there.
Really?
Yep.
You know, but that's like anything. I did a lot of charters, and I can tell you my rate was 9 out of 10. If I had 15 good charters, I would just hold my breath until everything fell on my head. And I was out one time with two of my best customers, and they're in the back of the boat laughing and goofing off. I'm up front sweating because we're not catching fish. I mean, we've been out 5 hours. We have not seen so much as a fish. I got a live well full of bait. I got shrimp. I got cut bait. I got everything. anything in the world they can want, I got no, nothing will cooperate. All of a sudden they say, hey, Frank, take a picture. These two goofballs, one holding one end of a piece of line, the other holding the other end, with a whole thing of white bait going across it, all awesome. 2 or 3 inches. They had me take their picture about their day
That's
with Frank.
That's just perfect.
Yeah.
Well,
so
luckily, I only screw up the big ones. Yes, or the one last year we took out Jim Logsdon from VMC.
Right.
And spent half the day pushing the boat.
Well, Jim is works for the Storm Factory. And Jim, you know, the Storm lures, during as soon as it starts to rain, we sell out of them. And yeah, we buy them 50 at a time, and we're ordering 50 a week and can't keep up. We order 60 a week. They can't make them fast enough to supply us.
Yeah.
And that Storm Twitch and Shad, the hottest lure.
Storm Twitch Stick.
Yeah. That thing is so unbelievably hot. Number one hard bait selling right now. And they're going to have their Jim will be here from the factory giving you great deals on it. It's not only you get the best, one of the best hard baits we sell, or the best hard bait we sell, or one of them. MR17 is hard to tell. It would be kind of a flick back and forth.
It is a toss up. It is a toss up.
But Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, will show you how to do an MR17. He'll be here March 15th. And then Jim from Storm is going to be throwing the Storm Twitch baits and stuff. You're going to have a great day. I mean, this March 15th is going to be off the hook. But going back down, now I've heard some pretty good redfish down by Cape Hayes.
The whole south end of the west wall is doing very well on redfish.
Yeah.
Pretty much from my hole on down is doing very well.
And now Turtle Bay, I'm still hearing big snook reports from out in front. Big stuff. Some nice sheephead still at the mouth of Bull Bay and all that. I mean, there's been some great fishing around right now.
The biggest complaint that I hear those snook out in front of Turtle Bay is it's hard to get them to eat.
Next to impossible.
Yeah.
I didn't say they were easy to catch. I said they were there.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear the reports of it. There are a lot of people seeing them. The water's getting pretty clear around the harbor.
Those big bull redfish that we chased around the east side last year are back. And being just as temperamental as they were last year.
How about those pretty blue tails you were catching the other day?
Oh, is that something else? And the cool thing was that wasn't Val playing around with the photo properties after she took it. They were coming out of the water that color. Just unbelievable.
Now, what's amazing about these redfish on the east side of the harbor right now is you catch them, and they've got all these beautiful colors, lots of spots, but literally the tails are blue. And it only lasts, what, about 30 seconds a minute?
If that. I mean, you had to get it. And the bad thing was, is blue as they are in those pictures, it was nothing compared to the blue that they were sitting in the water right before you grabbed them and took them out.
As soon as you take them out of the water, you've got seconds.
Seconds to get that picture before that blue hue fades.
And it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. I've only seen it a few times, and I've never seen it as vivid as what you guys are seeing it.
You'll see it a lot when they're schooled up and hungry. And I think that's what it is. It's no different. You notice when you catch a snook how his fins will light up yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Or you catch a Dorado offshore and they light up that beautiful gold, green, and blue. Some fish change colors when they're hooked. The sheephead that we used to catch in California,
right?
They almost look like a hogfish.
Right.
And they come out of the water bright fluorescent pink. And then when you put them in the live well and let them cool down, they stay pink, but then they get black stripes. They'll have a black stripe through their eye, and then another black stripe going
mangrove
down
snappers.
Their body. Or they have one stripe, and depending on whether it's a male or a female, it has one or two stripes. Don't ask me which one it is. I don't remember. But these redfish just absolutely, and they're schooled up. We put half a dozen up from underneath the same little branch. So.
Yeah, all you got to do is if you get on the west side, keep casting the branches. You need pieces of shrimp or shrimp. You don't need to have anything special because they're going to eat anything that hits the water in front of them. Once you find them, reel them up, hold them in the water next to the boat. And the best thing to do is just go about halfway down the east side and then put the trolling motor on slow or just drift past the islands casting at them. Yeah. Once you find them, but hold them in the water right next to the boat for a minute and look at the color. I mean, it's staggering. This is a, I would say, a once in 20 year event. I mean, you're probably going to see this more, but I don't think you're going to see it this this bright.
Yeah, I see it quite a bit, like I said, when they're schooled up, but it's never, usually, you know, that first quarter inch of their tail
right.
will light up.
But not the whole tail.
This was the whole tail, just absolutely turquoise.
And that's what I'm saying. This is probably that once in 20 year, I'm not going to say once in a lifetime, but this is a very rare event, and you get to see it now. The fish are usually 16, 18 inches, a little too small to keep.
Yeah.
But really, you're going to have the best time just checking them out. Going to see this is beautiful. And I've seen the pictures, and I've seen it in person before, but never as vivid as this.
And the cool part was that Mal had never caught a redfish before. So we got her first redfish. Her first redfish had 13 spots, which 13 is her lucky number. So it was
leave it
just
to Mal
putting it together. You know?
Yeah, that girl, 13 is going to be somebody's magic number. It's going to be Mallory's. Mallory is monster fish Mallory. She is the most amazing girl ever on big sharks. This girl will walk a 6-8 foot shark back into the water alive from the beach.
Yep.
And push it out, go, swim, fishy. You know, I mean, she's nuts. Love her to death, but she's nuts.
That's why people, I have to laugh at the people that say, well, why do you go after those small redfish? I didn't go after small redfish.
I went after big redfish.
I got
they
her,
have to be small.
I went after redfish to make her day.
Right.
Now, you're not going to catch a big 30-inch redfish with 13 spots around here. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know, would she have rather had a nice redfish with a beautiful blue tail that you don't see very often?
She got one of the most unusual, beautiful redfish in existence.
And 13 spots, which is her lucky number.
Right.
Take your size and cram it at that point.
She was just so happy. Now, she'll want to go out and do the 30-inch redfish again.
Sure.
But she does. I mean, this girl thinks 150-pound fish is small. She does a charter service, and for her, 150-pound, you know, Goliath is just a little fish. And so there's no difference for her between a 20-inch redfish and a 30 for her.
I think that we really got her hooked on the backcountry fishing. You know, she's never really been backcountry fishing. I mean, she's gone redfish fishing before and just struck out, but it was during the fall, so everybody's on the outsides of the bars looking for those big fish.
But when
you don't get to see the beautiful.
When you get way back like you do and you go way back into the islands and you're back in some little tiny cut where all you see is mangroves and every once in a while you hear a boat motor or something, but basically and secluded
things,
and gorgeous.
The things that we saw that day in that cut, you know, we were sitting there and Andrew goes, what the hell is that? I said, what? He says, it looks like a pig swimming across. And I looked and I thought it was a little baby pig too. Turns out it was the biggest damn raccoon I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was probably a 20-pound raccoon.
Yeah.
It was huge. Swimming across from one island to another. Bald eagles flying overhead. Redfish, you know, everywhere we cast. Sheephead everywhere we cast. Snook just popping throughout the whole cut. All the whole incoming tide, they were popping constantly. And it's peaceful. It's quiet. There's nobody else there. And they finally got to experience Charlotte Harbor's backcountry.
And
they loved it.
That's a whole different thing. When you're out in the open flat or out by the bars and you've got 30 other boats in sight, it's nice and everybody's spaced out. But, I mean, I'm a big one. And like I say, I got two spots I don't talk about. And they are so secluded. it would take you a year on Google to find them.
It was frustrating for her at first. They don't cast. They don't cast.
Right.
They're fishing for big sharks off the beach. They have somebody in a kayak paddle their baits out. And so it was a little frustrating at first to get her first real taste of dammit fishing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, dammit fishing is a real style of fishing because either, damn, that's a good cast, or in the trees again.
And she spent a lot of time with the latter.
Yeah, but that's normal. I don't understand captains who get upset when people cast in the trees, because if they're not casting in the trees, they're not
trying. You're not catching fish.
And they're not trying. You got to.
Yeah.
And I mean, my first morning out, when I haven't fished for 6 months or 4 months, and I go out, I'm in the trees the first half hour. I mean, I'm constantly retying. And then all of a sudden, it mellows out, and then I'm good the rest of the day. But you got to get back and practice.
That's the frustrating part, because, you know, she sits up at the front of the boat trying to get into that spot, and I'm sitting at the back of the boat 24 feet further back, and I'm putting it right underneath there perfect every cast. So she sees that, and she gets even more frustrated. But even I have my days, my bad days. I couldn't cast today. I took 5 casts today, put the rod back in the rod holder, and there it's at.
I can tell you, one time I'm on this charter, and this fish were really, really spooky. I'm back probably 60 feet. I'm casting into a hole that's maybe 4 feet wide and 18 inches high. If I get it in that spot, we're going to get a redfish.
Guaranteed.
Or a snook. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Every time I hit it in there. And I'm back there, 7.5 and 8-foot rods, just zinging it in there. And I would hit the bush on one side, break it off, grab another rod, hit the bush on the other side, break it off, grab another rod, throw it perfectly into the hole, hand it to somebody, start retying, and they'd get their fish, and then I'd have to do another rod in there. And it got to the point that every time I got it in there, everybody on the boat stood up and cheered. You know? I mean, they had to really rub it in. It's like,
it's the day before, bad days.
Yeah, the day before I was there, and I would hit in the hole nine times out of ten. You know, but that day I was getting 1 out of 10. It just,
yeah, and
good
Mallory,
days, bad days.
Mallory asked me, she says, "How do you know your distance?" I said, honest to God, I could get my distance blindfolded because I go by sound. And I told her, I said, you do this long enough, you'll pick up that you're actually doing it by sound also. You can tell how far that line is going by how it comes off your reel and through your rod eyes, just by the sound of it. And that's...
Now, I'm going to believe you, Ken. I'm deaf, so... I can't hear anybody anymore. If you're not looking directly at me when you're in the store and you need to speak directly, you know, I have to be looking at you to hear you. And ever since the oil spill, I've been all messed up. But the, you know, so I can't do that. But I've done it the other way so long, and it's just muscle memory.
Yeah.
Because I do it, and when you do it and do it and do it and do it, you just get used to it. But the object behind what we're talking about is, especially now that the water's going to get warmer.
And it was almost 80 degrees inside the cutoff today. It was 78, 79 degrees in there.
And what's happening is, just like me and you and everything else, if it's 78 degrees and the sun is shining and it's bright, where do you want to go? You want to go sit in the shade.
Yep.
There's food there. It's more comfortable. So you're taking a rod and sweeping it low across the water the same way as you would skip a stone. And we call it damn it fishing because, you know, either damn it's good catch, damn it in the trees. But you're pitching that bait right up underneath those mangroves, trying to skip it back 2 to 8 feet under the foliage. And that's a real trick. And if you're 5 feet away from the trees, you're not going to catch much. If I'm 5 feet under the trees, I'm going to outfish you 5 to 1.
Yep.
So, just trying to give you a flavor about what's going on. But right now, what's it been, 80 degrees?
Yeah, it's been a steady 80 degrees, so it's been beautiful.
And today was the first day we've had any wind in a while. I don't know what the wind forecast is going
to
be.
The forecast for the rest of the week was back down to 5 or 10 mile an hour.
So, 80 degrees and a light breeze. And if you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you're trying to walk down Hennepin, and which is never a good idea. So you're in your car, and you're trying to drive around Minneapolis. We're really sorry. It's 80 degrees with a 5 to 10 mile an hour breeze and sunshine. Yeah, redfish, snook, trout, cobia, triple tail. Everything's biting. It's perfect time in Florida, Minnesota. Why? Come on vacation. Come down to the land of good.
Do you know how nice it is to not have to chop through water to fish?
My son sent me a picture of him and his buddy out there. They've got the auger and the axe and the strainer to get the ice out of the hole.
No more. No, I would like to go home and go trout fishing, but I can tell already I'm not going to be good at it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fishing the trout streams was my thing. And if I get into closed areas where I have to make little 4 or 5 foot casts, I can't do it.
What you're going to have to do is stand 100 feet down the bank and cast to the other bend.
To do. If you're 50 yards away, I can put a split shot in your mouth, but if you're 3 feet away, forget it. I'm done.
Well, I can tell you, just a general wrap up. Give some advice for tomorrow. If you were going to send somebody out fishing just to catch fun fish.
If you just want
to
go have fun, come in, get, and don't come in and get a couple dozen shrimp. Come in, get 100 shrimp, and go hit the west wall. If you run down the west wall, you're going to see that blue sailboat at around the halfway point that has been sitting on the sandbar for the last 6 months. Go south of that sailboat. Get in as shallow as you possibly can. Chop some of those shrimp up. Get those bonnet head shark. Get those small
Spanish
mackerel.
Oh, the bonnets
are
going crazy right now, aren't they?
Yeah, there's ladyfish out there. There's Spanish mackerel out there. There's trout out there. There's bonnet heads out there by the thousands.
Now, could you just take a bag of frozen shrimp and just chop and chop
and throw them out there
and scatter a handful out where you're going
to
fish?
Get them. I mean, it's good to have live.
Yeah, well, the smell
live well and have it running because they will come right up to your boat. They smell those shrimp in your live well. They will come right up to the boat and check things out. Get them chummed up. Get them coming in 1,000 miles an hour, hot and heavy. And just
bonnets are great fun. Use a light action rod, a 4-10, a 6-12.
You don't need steel leader.
No, just
25, 30 pound monofilament is fine. Put on a nice circle hook so you're not gut hooking them.
Put on a nice Kaylee hook.
And have fun.
Yeah. And you can hit them on a float. You can hit them on a bobber.
Yeah.
They'll chase anything, any shrimp. Get over on the west side, go south of the sailboat, and take a bunch of shrimp with you. It's an easy day.
Yeah.
Anchor up on the bar.
Once the water comes up and you can get to the mangroves, then you switch gears and start beating the bushes for redfish.
So go out tomorrow. Have a great day on the water. Just get a few shrimp. It's simple. It's easy. Get 4 dozen live ones and a bag of frozen. And dice and chop the frozen into small, mushy pieces with a knife. Put them in a little cup and sling them out
there. Those bonnet heads are out there to do one thing, and that's feed.
Yeah. And they're there. And just make sure when you grab bonnet, it's a shark. It's a form of hammerhead. Grab it by the back of the head. When you get it up there, lift the leader out of the water and control the dorsal fin, and then grab him by the back of the head, and you're all good.
Don't wrap your hand all the way around it.
Yeah, don't kill him by crushing the gills.
You're crushing the gills. You'll feel a ridge of muscle right above those gills. Put your fingers on that. That gives you a good positive purchase on it, and you're not killing them.
And you won't. It's easier to handle bonnet sharks than it is catfish. I would much rather take the bonnet sharks off the hook than the catfish, because catfish hurt me. Once I got that shark by the head, it's like grabbing a little kid when he's upset you. Come on, little boy, you got him right by the back of the neck.
I'd rather pick up and handle a 4-foot black tip than I would a damn
6-8-inch catfish.
Forget it.
Now, the bigger catfish I don't mind, but those 6-8-inchers, boy, those things are dangerous. But anyway, bonnet sharks, west side of the harbor, even the east side, go south, anywhere from halfway point down south, west or east side, anchor up, scatter a bunch of chopped up, ground up shrimp, and then put one out on a bottom with a jig head, one out under a bobber. You're going to have a great day. Go out. Now, today is February 21st. It's Friday. Yep. No, it's Saturday, right?
No, it's Friday.
Today's Friday. Okay, today's Friday. Sorry, boys and girls. Tomorrow is Saturday, February 22nd. Go, come in, get some shrimp. Go somewhere and get some shrimp and get out in the harbor and have a blast, okay? We will see you guys on the next edition of Wishing Radio Fishing. I don't even know what I'm doing here. I can't.
He's so excited to get everything back.
You got 20 Hoopers in a pontoon boat.
I love this song.
It's the perfect day for fishing, taking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.